Most of you know, we've been working through the book of Ruth, and we're going to go back to chapter 2 again, Ruth chapter 2. And we're going to look at the chapter in a little bit different light than we have been in the last couple of Tuesday nights. I'll just read a few of the verses, and what we want to underline in our minds in this chapter is the word glean. Actually, the word glean is found seven times, and the word gleaned, past tense, is found five times. So for 12 times in the chapter, you have the idea of gleaning. Of course, gleaning is the idea of harvesting, taking in what has been growing, and now the time of harvest has come. So we'll start from verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name is Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean, there's the first time, ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And then verse number six, and the servant that was, keep reading, it's better to do that way. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray thee, let me glean and gather after the reapers whom among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarry a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean, there it is again, in another field, neither go from hence, and but abide here fast with my maidens. Let's drop down for the sake of time down to verse number 15. Because we've gone through all this and read it several times already, but verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young man, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let her also let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field even until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about the ephod of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved for after she was sufficed. I think that would be enough for our reading for tonight. And again, as we say, we're looking at the book of Ruth. There, the ways that we have looked at it already in this chapter is that the field is a picture of the assembly, and it was belonged to Boaz, and it was the field, we could say, the field of Boaz. Well, we think of the assembly is the assembly of God, and because of that, it belongs to God. It also is called the assembly of Christ, or the church of Christ. So we see that he's the owner of it. Boaz was the owner of the field. And now we're looking at it from a different perspective. We're still in the field, but not so much of some of those beautiful pictures that we were able to see of the church or the assembly, but now we're looking at it as a picture of the Word of God. The assembly is like in the Word of God, and that's what we want to absorb tonight. How do we study the Bible, or do we study the Bible? What kind of interest have we invested into the Word of God, the Bible? And so we want to see how we can get some helpful pictures of what of what the Bible is like. Let me just go with you to a verse in Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119. I'm going to look at just a little bit of a different perspective of understanding the Word of God. Psalms 119 and 1 and verse 162. 119 and verse 162. Just to and kind of put my point before you, I think, a little bit more forceful way. Says in this verse, Psalms 119, verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Now, most of us have been somewhat exposed to hunters and fishermen and those kinds of people. And you've seen pictures. You may have seen pictures of fishermen, and they stand by this huge, huge fish and stands like 10 feet tall and a big, long spear of the nose of it upside down. And they have their fishing rod in their hand, and they're smiling. They're happy. They found what they were looking for, what they spent, or I might say most of them, invested their lives into. And he says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of somebody that went deer hunting. And they take the deer, it's laying on the ground there, and they hold up the antlers of the deer, and they get this picture, the big smile on their face because of the prize that they found, and they hunted after it, and it took a lot of time, it took a lot of skill, it took much effort and sometimes a lot of money just to be able to get that one deer. Personally, I don't think it's worth it, but some people really do go in for that kind of a thing. So reading that verse again, he says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth the great spoil. And now he's looking at the Word of God as when we read it and we study it, we're actually going, as it were, hunting through the Word of God. It's like a hunter, and you're looking for the prizes. You're looking for that which is going to nourish your soul and be a help to you and possibly a blessing to others. So that's the idea of a hunter. Now going back to Ruth in chapter 2, and it's not so much the idea of a hunter, but we're looking at the idea of a harvest. See, the Bible's like hunting, but the Bible's also like harvesting, taking in and gathering that which has been there, and it's been growing, and it's developing, and it's for us to enjoy in that respect. So the Word of God, or the field here, is like, I should say, the Word of God. Now, the first thing I want you to think about is the desire that we saw. We've looked at this already, but let's look at it from the Word of God's perspective. It's the desire of Ruth to go to the field. She wanted to go there. She had this burning desire in her heart to go there. And that would, why did she want to go? Because of her need. Her substance, her food to live, it was a matter of life or death to her. I go and I glean, I get the barley and I get the wheat or I die. And so she went out there because her great desire. Notice what it says in verse 2, let me now go. She was saying that she really wanted to and had a desire to go and to feed on the Word of God. So When you think of this desire, I just want to read a verse to you about the desire, and most of us know this very well. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse number 2. 2. As newborn babes, here's the word, desire the sincere milk of the word that she may grow thereby. Ruth desired to go into that field and glean in that field, to harvest in that field, because she needed it for growth. She needed it for her health, for her well-being. And so now Peter is telling us that we too. Now, not all of us are new Christians. In fact, most of you here have been on the road a little while. I'm probably the one that's been on the road the longest. But no matter how long you've been saved, the desire should still be the same as a newborn babe. Now, can you imagine a little baby, and he has no desire to drink milk, and something has gone wrong? And we know of a case where there was a lady and a little baby girl, and they gave her the bottle or asked her to drink milk, that'll be more graphic, and she started to cry, and she wouldn't drink. And so they were very, very concerned because she was getting weaker and weaker and thinner and thinner. They didn't know what to do, and they were studying and trying to see. They couldn't find anything wrong with her body. And then finally, somebody just had a thought, and they opened up her nostrils, her nose, and they looked up, and her nose were blocked. Her nostrils on both sides were blocked. And so when she went to feed, she couldn't breathe. And because she couldn't breathe, she started to cry. And so she couldn't eat. As soon as they opened up the nostrils, she began to eat. But what I'm trying to say is this. When there's not a desire for the Word of God, when there's not a hunger to know more about the Bible and read the Bible, then we'd have to say there's something drastically wrong. The birth, the nature of a child is to have milk, to eat, to feed upon something. And so it should be in our experience as Christians as well. I was just thinking of it this way. It had Oprah. Well, I can't ever think of her name right. Let me. What was her name? Orpha. There you go. Orpha. Had Orpha come over from with Naomi and with Ruth, and she would have come to the field. She probably would not been really into going into the field. She would have probably been happy just to stay at house in the house and do nothing. Why? Because there was not that nature in her. There was not that new desire for the things of God. And you know, when you look around and you think, you know, this person professes to be saved, and this person says they're saved, and yet they don't even want to talk about the Bible. And maybe they even laugh at you if you do talk about the Bible. Or maybe if it's going to be a meeting, it has to be a meeting that's full of entertainment. I know of conferences, and I don't want to say this out of place, but there's some conferences, and it's all for show. It's all to entertain the young people, just to entertain them. Whatever happened to preaching the Bible? Whatever happened to just laying out the doctrines of the Word of God? Why is it that so much has to be done for entertaining instead of just proclaiming the Word of God? Why are we not satisfied with just what the Word of God? I wonder sometimes, is it because the nature is not there? There's not that understanding that I belong to God. And because as a newborn babe, I should be able to understand the things and appreciate the things of God. Now, the purpose of gleaning, I kind of already hit on that. She said, let me go into the field and glean ears of corn. Her whole purpose of it was to be nourished. Her purpose was to grow, to develop. How sad in spiritual life there are so many malnutritionists. That's a word I think. It's been a long time since I heard that word. In the spiritual realm. And why is it? There's no need for it. This book is full of food. Food sufficient. And there's no need for us to be malnourished. And then the next thing is the provision for the gleaning. The provision of it. Where do we find the provision? It says she went and came and gleaned in the field. So there was a provision that was made for her, but the provision, she had to go after it. The provision didn't just come to her. She had to, it was available, but she had to go after it. And I find a lot of interesting things in this. It wasn't like when Naomi and Ruth arrived to Bethlehem to Judea. It wasn't in the next morning, because the barley fields were full of barley. It wasn't at the next morning that they woke up and hear God miraculously put 4 loaves of fresh baked bread on their table. I mean, he could have done that, couldn't he? But he didn't. There was a provision just outside their door. There was a provision just out in those fields. She had to go and work for it. She's the one who had to go and stoop down to pick up the pieces that were there in the field. She's the one that had to pick it up and put it in her little sack. She's the one who had to do the work to get it. This Bible is God's provision for you and for me. But it's not going to come to us by putting it under our pillow at night and going to sleep and say, maybe that's how I'm going to get the Bible. It's not going to happen that way. You have to harvest it. You have to go after it. Think of it when it happened, or the way God has provided for his people down through the centuries. Just starting with Adam. Adam in Genesis in chapter 2, God put him in the garden. And he told him, Adam, this garden is for you. All this food is yours. But you have to tend to it. You have to keep it. You have to work it. So the provision was there. But he had to work it to get and to keep that which is for him. Look at, if you will, the people of Israel when they were slaves in Egypt. And God provided a lamb without spot and without blemish. But they had to go out and they had to get the lamb. That was their responsibility. It was their responsibility to inspect the lamb. And then it was their responsibility to kill the lamb. And then it was their responsibility to roast the lamb. And then it was their responsibility to eat the lamb. And so it was all there. The provision was made. But they were responsible to get it, to do everything, the steps that God had given to them so that they could enjoy the provision. And then let's go on down, even they get out into the wilderness. And God provided manna that came down from heaven. And every morning they went out. But what was happening? They had to go out and get it. They had to collect it. They had to go where it was. And so it is when it comes to the study of God's word. Then you come to when they went into the land of Canaan. There the provision again was there. And so it is that they had to go and harvest it and beat it in to something that they could use it for. And then their cooking and their eating and everything. So God provides for his people. And so it is even today that God has made this great provision for us. So she came, she gleaned, and then think of not only the purpose, but the provision, but look at the prayer of this exercise of Ruth. It says in verse number 7, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather. You see that she's come to the right place. She's now coming in an attitude of prayer with the right attitude. You see, when you come to study the Bible, you need prayer. You need God, who is the author of the Bible, to teach the word of God to you, to show you what he has for you, a message for your heart today. And if you get to a point where some of us as men, we have to preach and we have to study the word of God. I enjoyed what was said on Lord's Day, our brother Oscar, and how he took that simple verse used many, many times in the gospel, but he broke it down in three parts. I don't know if you notice, each part started with the letter U, la, and it was, if I remember correctly, it was universal. It was unico. I remember that, but I can't think of what it is in English. Unique. It was unique. There you go. And then it was urgent. I think it was around other way around. But anyway, there it was. Three U's, and he broke it down nicely. That's an example of what it is to study the word of God and to be orderly and properly in your studies so that you can get it. So she came in the attitude of prayer. She came with this, let me glean, harvest, and gather. And so gathering, is that not important? When I first was newly saved, I was a newly saved person, and I had an exercise about the Bible, and I was reading my Bible and studying it and things. I had three books. I had the Bible. I had a concordance. A concordance is a huge book. When I had it, it was about like that, about this big thing. And it was, had every word in the Bible in it. And I used that a lot. And then I had a Bible dictionary. That was my simple beginnings. But I used to spend hours with my Bible, my concordance, my Bible dictionary, reading it and studying it and trying to get something out of it. And then I had a brother tell me, he said, Tom, what you need to do is get a notebook. This is before computers, believe it or not, I'm that old. Anyway, before computers, and he says, get a notebook, and he said, that way you can keep everything in order. Oh, that was a good idea. So I got this notebook, and I started writing my notes and taking notes and everything. Then I realized I filled up my notebook, and I had parts from the Old Testament, parts from the New Testament, and all in this notebook. And I said, this isn't working too good. So I went out and bought out 6 notebooks. And I had a couple of them that was dedicated to the Old Testament, and the rest of them were dedicated to the New Testament. And then I had to do it again, and I had to get them one for each book in the New Testament. And so if you were to look in my office behind the doors today, there's all these notebooks when I was taking notes, handwritten notes. But now, I do it a little differently. I'm glad I lived long enough to live in the days of computer. And so I do basically the same thing. But on my computer, I have a root drive, and I have a Old Testament, and I have every book in the Old Testament. And then I have the New Testament, and I have every book in the New Testament. And so as I'm studying, like I'm doing the book of Ruth right now, I put all my notes right under that little subtitle, Ruth. And then I go chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. And that's the way it is all the way through. All the Old Testament, all the New Testament. And it gets order. And you see, when she came to this field, she found that there was order in the field. It wasn't just everybody going here and there and everything. There was a certain amount of how everything was being put together. And so it is with us. So that we, as our study goes, she says, I want to glean and I want to gather. But don't just waste what you gather. Gather it. Keep it. That's for ladies and men both, brothers and sisters both. It's good to keep what you have learned from the Word of God. And how often you'll be thinking about something and you can't, where was that? And you can, nowadays in the computer, you just do a little search and boom, there it is. That's what I studied 6 years ago. And it's really helpful in that way. So it's the attitude of it. It's the accumulation of the information that you have been gleaning and putting it together so that it can be useful to you. And the place where she was to be gleaning, that's an important part as well. Notice it there in verse number 8, the place. And it says, and then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest not my daughter, go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. So the place was important. You see, I thank God that he brought me into the assemblies. I really do. Because as I look out around the world, I know that there's a lot of false teaching. And I know that there's good believing people that believe this false teaching. And they're following this false teaching. Christians, yes. On the way to heaven, yes. But they've been exposed to the error. I just talked to a lady. I was at the dentist yesterday, okay? And I was talking to a lady. She's a Christian, born-again Christian. And she was all bubbly about all these things. And the Harvest Crusade and all of this kind of thing. Did you go? Did you go? No, I didn't go. But she was talking. And I thought, poor thing. She has great desires and everything. But you can tell from the way she's been taught. She's all mixed up. And I thank God for the orders of the orderly teaching given in the assemblies and the truth that is emphasized in the assemblies. It's so preserving, it's so helpful. Because you see, as you look at the internet and you go into start looking at Bible studies in the internet, you'll find that there's a lot of truth out there. But then oftentimes that truth is mixed with error or false teaching. It's like salt and pepper. The devil doesn't just slam us, bam, like that, and hit us with the false teaching. He knows we are not going to fall for that. But he will infiltrate, drop in false teachings here and there, and mix all of the truth that's out there. And then as you get deeper into it, there's less truth and more false teaching. And then as you go deeper yet, there's no truth and all false teaching. And that's the reason why he's telling them, telling Ruth, don't go to another field. Don't go out there. Just be careful. And when it comes to Bible study, be careful. There's a lot of good books. There's a lot of useful material. But be careful that it's going to be material, that it's going to be help you to grow and not hinder you. And then the progress that we are looking at in this the gleaning that she went through in verse number 15, and it says, and when she was raised up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Interesting that he was telling her, or them, to let her glean among the sheaves. What's the progress? Remember in verse number 2, she says, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. In other words, she was just going to get the leftovers. What little scrappings that she might find. But that's how we all begin, isn't it? We begin with the small things. And I mean, you can't expect to be at the level of somebody who's been studying the Bible for 40 years when you've just been saved for a year or so. It takes growth. It takes development. It takes maturity. And so she starts with just the ears of corn, just the small things. But now she's moving among the sheaves. You see it there in verse 16? Let her glean among the sheaves. That's where the richer grain is. That's where the more plenty and a bountiful amount of grain available for her there. And she can, as time goes, I mean, this is all in a day for her. But for us, it's years, it's centuries sometimes to be able to grow and develop in our study for the word of God. And so there's the progress that she has been able to be exposed to and she's able to develop in. And then the next thing is that there is, I've already mentioned this, but there's plenty out there. And it says there in verse 16, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Notice in verse 15, it says in the last part, and reproach her not. Now in verse 16, it says, rebuke her not. And it's interesting it's sad. Because there are people who, professing Christians, and I don't know how it is today, because I'm not young anymore, but I used to be, and I remember as a young person, wanting to learn the Word of God and trying to apply myself to the Word of God and the study of the Word of God, taking part as much as I could and just helping out whenever I could, whenever, where I could and when I could. And you know that I had friends that were in the assembly. They mocked me. They reproached me. They rebuked me. You say, you're taking it too seriously. You don't have to do that. The orders that Boaz gave to those people, you don't rebuke her. And you don't reproach her or mock her. You appreciate who she is, and you appreciate what she is doing. But he says, you let handfuls. The idea, before she would be happy if she just got one little sliver. Now it's coming out, and they have all this grain piled together. And they said to him, you just grab a whole handful of that, and you just drop it right there at her feet so she can pick it up and so she can have it. And now she went from one place to another, and she gave a handful. And those men working there, those ladies working there, all working together, that's another thing. As she was in that field, she got to know Boaz, and Boaz became her husband. And she became Boaz's, which meant Boaz became her husband. And she became Boaz's wife. That's what I wanted to say. Where was it? We saw that the field is like the assembly. It was out of the field where she found her husband. And where Boaz found his wife, in the field. But here it is, handfuls, the plenty, the amount. The abundance of it all. It's everything that she needed, and it was to be done in a respectful and an honoring way for her. Just to finish here, personalization of the gleaning. Just to, not just to gather a bunch of even sermons together, if you want to go that way. It's not just a matter of reading, and it's all right if you read 3 or 4 chapters a day. That's good. We'll never turn that away. But the main thing is, what did you get out of what you read? What did you glean? What did you harvest for what you read? And then as what you've harvested and what you glean through your morning or daily reading or through ministry or whatever case you are exposed to the Word of God, then you take it and personalize it. It becomes yours. And you see what you can do to become a person that is more useful for God. And that's what he said in verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephod of barley. There it is. She had gleaned in the field from morning to evening. It was hard work. She didn't give up, but she kept at it. And she was able to take it, and it says that when it says there, she beat it out, that she had beat out what she had gleaned. It's the idea of take away the chaff, as it were. Take it to where it can be more useful to her. If she was, she couldn't take all of the branches, you know, when it grows, the stalks is a better word. She couldn't take all those stalks and the leaves and everything else to go with it. She couldn't get all that to the house. So she had to beat it out. In other words, she had to take the true grain that was there and get it down to where it's just, well, how many stalks would produce a handful of grain? I don't know. But there's where she was going with it. So I think of it as this, personalizing, taking it for herself. There's not everything that is given that is just for you, but there's many things that are given that are really for you. And so God has his way of communicating to us and helping us to personalize the gleaning. This is my last point, and we'll leave it here. In verse 19, and it says, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? Now, that's an interesting question. It's a good thing for parents to ask children that question sometimes. Where have you gleaned today? What have you harvested today from the Word of God? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name is whom I wrought today is Boaz. And so we find here is that she, what I wanted to say, and actually it was verse 18 too that I wanted, and I touched on this last week, but verse 18, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that which she had received after she was sufficed. So she was able to, proof of her gleaning, the proof of it was, is what she was able to bring to her mother-in-law. To proof of what is our gleaning from the Word of God is what we're able to bring to help somebody else. Something that we can share with someone else. It doesn't have to be always from a platform. It can just be in a private conversation. It can be in whatever means. It can be, first of all, something you enjoyed, and then you're able to share it with somebody else. And so the Word of God is rich, and this chapter 2, I know we spent a lot of time in it in a way, but I think there's so many beautiful pictures of what an assembly is and so many beautiful pictures of what the Word of God is and how we can apply it to our own hearts and lives. We trust that it will prove to be a blessing to us. Let us pray. Father, we do thank thee for the privilege of being here tonight and opening thy Word and to, as it were, go into the great harvest field, where the Word of God is just ready to be picked, as it were, ready to be enjoyed and to be applied to our lives, to give us the nourishment, the satisfaction that we need in our spiritual life. So we just pray that thou'll help us to appreciate thy good Word, to apply it for thine honor and glory. We give our thanks for what thou hast done for us. Take us to our homes in safety. Thou hast brought us here in safety. Just take us home in safety, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.